Come on, if you love the Lord, give God some praise in this house. Come on, you ought to be a little louder than that. Come on, if you love him. If you love him like I do, come on. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And we thank the Lord for this privilege one more time to be in Houston, Texas, and to be here with the Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church, and to be part of this wonderful ministry under the leadership of your pastor. He's more than a friend, he's a brother. I want Good Hope. Come on, give your pastor a hand. Pastor DZ Cofield, my brother. We thank God for Lady Cofield. God bless you so much as well. My sister, thank you. Amen. She has already demonstrated her influence because she had me eat some sweets this morning. And it was real good. So whoever did that, wonderful, deserved. Thank you so much for blessing. Amen. Blessing me. I want to introduce just some of folks who came with me, and those who are part of the Houston community as well. But first, let me ask just a few of our members of Providence Baptist Church of San Francisco, if you would stand, and family, if you would stand so I can see you. Everyone who's part of Providence from San Francisco, California, and family, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you all for coming. Some of you I can't wait to meet for the first time. And then some of our members have been here for a few days and even a couple of weeks, and so I'm so grateful. Thank you for coming and sharing with me today. I appreciate it so much. It just does my soul well. Love you so much, and I want to make sure you get back to San Francisco. Amen. We don't want you to, amen, as much as we love Houston. Amen. I need to see y'all next Sunday. Amen. Amen. At the Providence Church. God bless you. Want to thank God for my associate, Reverend Brown, and who brought his mother and brother, and is that your children too? All right, y'all stand one more time for us. Amen. Reverend Brown is from Houston, Texas, transplanted to San Francisco, pastor, and so he has been part of my life and ministry for a few years, so we thank God. I think I saw his aunt also. God bless you, auntie. Amen. God bless you. And then let me introduce again my family in love, not in-laws, but in love. This is my wife's family, and we are all family, to be honest with you. That's how we look at each other. And so glad to have our mother in love. Come on, Mother Debbie, stand up so they can see you. This is Lady Latrice's mother. Amen. Come on, sister, Sister Monique. Come on, stand, Sister Monique. Amen. My brother in love, Ken. Come on, stand, Ken. Good to have you. Amen. They're not far from you all. They're in Katy, Texas. So we, God bless you. Amen. I hear some Katy folks in here. I heard a little on the side. All right. Amen. And then let me also introduce my daughter in love, Deja. Would you stand so they all can see you? Come on, Deja. She's also a resident of Houston, Texas. Amen. So glad to have. And then, everybody, I want you to give some love to the woman of my life, my best friend, everything that I need and more. Lady Latrice, would you stand so we all can see you? Thank you, wife. Amen. Amen. That's my boo. Amen. Amen. My boo can do, y'all. I just want y'all to know. Amen. She is everything and more. God bless you all. We do want to, Pastor, if you don't mind me just waving at those who may be watching us from San Francisco Providence Baptist Church, who may be watching. I want the San Francisco Church, Providence. We had an 8 o'clock service, and I know 8 o'clock was 6 a.m. for y'all, so I knew y'all couldn't get up at 8 o'clock to be with me. So I'm glad you all pressed away to come to be with us at 10 a.m. Amen. If you have your Bibles or Bible application, I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And if you have strength in your legs to stand for the reading of God's holy word, I'm going to ask you to do that for me. Amen. As we give respect to God's holy word. If you've got 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, come on, shout back at me and say, I've got it. All right. If you're still turning and I'm hearing some, we'll wait on you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, reading from the King James translation. This is the words of the Apostle Paul. It reads as follows, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity it is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I want to read it again. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I want to talk to you from these simple words. I can't keep it to myself. Look at your neighbor and say, I can't keep it to myself. I need the old. I need the, yeah. Every hour I need thee, oh bless me now, my Savior, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee all. Oh, I need thee. Yeah, every hour. Lord, 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 I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I come. Lord, I come. Lord, I come. Lord, I come. Lord, 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 I come. I come to thee. Father in heaven, I thank you once again for the privilege that you've given me to stand behind this consecrated desk. I thank you for, again, my brother, Pastor D.C. Gofield, and his wife, and entire Good Hope family. I ask God that you would bless them and all they do for you. And those who are part of the Providence Baptist Church family and extended family members. Ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way in this setting today. Pray, Lord, that your word would not fall on deaf ears, that someone would be saved, delivered, and set free. Someone will be changed, and someone will leave here better than they came. As I stand, Lord, in the presence of your people and those who are watching, Lord, by social media, that you would use your servant Leroy Jr. again, that you would endow me, and that you would have your way. And I thank you once again for the privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. If you love the Lord, come on like I do. Give him another praise, everybody. Come on, I see you. I see you all around here. God bless you. I can't keep it to myself. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I can't keep it. Come on, say it like you mean it. I can't keep it to myself. Look at another neighbor that's not paying attention to you and say, neighbor, I can't keep it to myself. Come on, if you got some flexibility, look around behind you and just say, I know you've been watching the back of my head. But I want you to see my face. I can't keep it to myself. Amen. There are some things, Good Hope, Providence, and everyone around the world, things in life that you and I need to keep to ourselves. Not everybody ought to know all of your business. Your password, your passcode, your login information, sometimes even your quiet place to pray. And even more so, because some of us are good at this, money in certain locations. Y'all quiet on this side already. But there's one thing that once it truly touches your life, you can't keep to yourself, and that is the good news of Jesus Christ. In fact, good news need to be heard. Good news don't need to be silent. Good news from our perspective as believers is really the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, in this verse that we read to you this morning, isn't boasting about his preaching. He isn't flexing his spiritual muscles. He is simply saying, who I am and what I do is not optional. This is a necessity. This is an awesome duty. This is an assignment that's like no other. It's like what Jeremiah said. It's like fire shut up in my bones. He says, I must preach the gospel. So today, let's walk through this verse and see what it means for us who know the truth and are called to share it. First of all, I want you to see, ladies and gentlemen, the call to preach is not a choice, but a commission. That's what I heard the pastor say earlier. The word commission literally means one who has been deputized and have been given an assignment. Here is what Paul says. He says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. In other words, Paul is saying, don't praise me for preaching. Yes, honor me for who I am in Christ, but don't think I'm doing something extraordinary on my own by sharing the gospel. I am simply doing what I was called to do. Are y'all going to pray with me? Paul, for those of us who know his story, he didn't apply for this job as it was some kind of employment. He was, like many of us in here, if we tell the truth, Paul was arrested by grace. He was apprehended. Come on, somebody. I just saw a few of you who told your testimony by your cardboard message. Some of us in here ought to be walking also saying that we've been arrested by the grace of God. Are y'all here? Grace is when God has favored you even when you didn't deserve it. And I wish I had about 50 folks who can raise your hand and say, he arrested me by his grace. In fact, give your neighbor a high five and say, I'm sitting next to you because of his grace. His grace was amazing. His grace did something that I could not do for myself. That's why some of you ought to be shouting right now, I'm here only because of his grace. Paul was arrested by grace on the road to Damascus. He wasn't in church. He wasn't in some temple. He was on his way raising hell and havoc and was looking once again to throw believers behind bars. But his life was turned around by Jesus himself. He had this close encounter with Jesus where he bowed down to the Lord when he couldn't bow or wouldn't bow down to anyone else. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And right then, right there on a road, his life was changed, which comes to tell me the Lord can meet you right where you are. I wish I had some more witnesses in here who can truly shout, the Lord met you at your worst. The Lord met you when you were broken. The Lord met you when you were toe up from the flow up. The Lord met you when you didn't have a name. The Lord met you when you didn't have education. The Lord met you when you were struggling and straining. Oh, I'm at the right church. The Lord met you when you were going through hell. The Lord met you when you were addicted. I wish I had some witnesses in here. The Lord met you right where you were. And you can shout right now, I'm no longer the same. Are y'all here or am I here by myself? Come on, look at your neighbor. Say, I know you got your church clothes on and I know you got your t-shirt on, but tell somebody, he changed me from the inside out and I'm better now than I was before. So the gospel became the very core of his being. He didn't volunteer because it looked like a good opportunity. He was commissioned by Christ. This applies, watch this, this applies not only to preachers and pastors, but to every believer that is here today sitting in this pew or chair or watching by way of social media. You may not ever stand behind a pulpit, but you stand before people every day who need to hear and see the gospel in your life. This is why, again, I heard Pastor mentioning Matthew 5 and 16, the words of Jesus, where Jesus said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works. Watch this. And not give you the glory, but glorify the Father which is in heaven. Are y'all in this house? Because when you've been redeemed, when you've been rescued, you have no glory to claim. You have no credit at all to say, I did this, or I did this on my own, or God, amen, I did this without God. No, you needed God, and God used you to help those to experience a new and abundant life by the life you live. And now the life you live, you ought to have a mindset, I can't keep it to myself. In fact, somebody ought to shout like I'm going to shout right now. It's all about him. Oh, yeah, it's all about him. It's all about him. Where I am, amen. God brought me what I know. God taught me what I have. God gave me where I'm going. The Lord is going to take me. All that I am is because of him. Who can shout that with me? All that I am. It's because of him. All that I have is because of him. All that I know is because of him. So I won't give glory to myself, nor will I allow anyone else to take what God has given me. What God has for me, it is for me. And because it's mine, not even the devil in hell can have it. Oh, I feel like preaching right now. Somebody ought to get your shot on right now. I am what I am by the grace of God. And because I know God made me who I am, I'm not trying to be like anybody else. In fact, I dare 10 people to grab yourself and say, I love me some me. I'm not everything I want to be, but I love me some me. God saved me. God saved me. God saved me. God delivered me. God changed me. God helped me. God touched me. Now God is using me. And because he's using me, I've got to give him glory. And I can't keep it to myself. Paul wrote to the church again, Corinthians, in the second letter, verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now it's important for us, amen, to make known to anybody who's here and anybody who's watching, don't you ever get beside yourself. And believe you're all of that. All right, there might be somebody sitting next to you right now who think that, so don't look at him. But how many here know that everything about your life you can't take credit for? Are y'all here? Are y'all up there? Y'all quiet up there, but I need somebody up there that can shout, the Lord has blessed me. The Lord is blessing me. And the Lord is going to bless me. I just need a few of y'all. And when he bless you once, won't he bless you again? Come on in this house. I know I'm at the right church. Somebody ought to shout, he keeps on blessing me. I'm not ready yet. He keeps on blessing me. Over. So Paul brings to our attention once again that he is commissioned by the Lord. And then he helps us to see that the branding call of the gospel is a necessity. Let the church say necessity. The word necessity in the Greek implies something imposed, something urgent, even inescapable. Paul isn't saying, I don't enjoy preaching. He's saying, I must preach. Preaching was on him, even though it was not comfortable throughout his life. Whenever you are a servant of the Lord, you need to know that sometimes your testimony does not make you comfortable at times. Sometimes you'll be in uncomfortable situations. Sometimes you'll be persecuted and you'll be ostracized and criticized. But still the same. Whatever's going on around you should never impact what God is doing in you and through you. Simply because of who you are and whose you are. Because you never say, I belong to the Lord. And just like breathing is a necessity for the Bible, preaching was a necessity for Paul's soul. And what I like about Paul, if you know his life, he didn't need applause. He didn't need affirmation. He didn't need folks to pat him on the back to get an amen. He preached anyway. In fact, he told Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season. It helps us who are serving the Lord right now. that you don't need a microphone or a platform to tell of his goodness. All you need to do is open your mouth. Tell your neighbor, open up your mouth and tell somebody what the Lord has done for you. And that's what Paul understood. He needed to get the word, the gospel, out of him and into the world. And that's why, once again, I believe whenever the word is in you, it is like fire shut up in your bone. And when the gospel is alive in you, all of it, you won't be able to stay silent, because silence is dangerous. No wonder he says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Paul doesn't say woe to them if I don't preach. He says, woe to me. He isn't just concerned about others missing out. He's troubled about disobeying the Lord himself. And that word woe is a word of warning, a sorrow and judgment. Paul knew that to remain silent would be to disobey the very calling of God on his life. May I tell you, brothers and sisters, that silence is not an option when eternity is at stake. You need to know those who are in your space or in your world is depending upon your willingness to speak this life transformational word called the gospel. See, we know that the word of God is life transformational. We're not talking about just coming to church on Sunday. We're talking about receiving the word and applying the word. And the word changes your life. That's why I said that many of us in here, if we tell the truth, we haven't always been who we are today. Tell somebody, you sitting next to an ex somebody. Oh, y'all got quiet on that. Oh, yes. Some might be here, maybe an ex-dealer, an ex-player from the Himalaya. Oh, yes. But somebody ought to be loud enough to say, look at me. Look at me now. For the word of God says, if any man be in Christ, any woman be in Christ, he or she, are y'all here, is a new creature with a new feature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. So the word of God, I don't care what book you read, this book will change your life. Have I got a witness in here? This book can reach your family, can reach your coworkers, can reach your neighbors, can even reach your haters. Woohoo! Oh yeah, you got some haters, some you know and some that you don't know. Some in the world and some in the church. But what happens if you don't speak? What happens if you keep it to yourself? Ezekiel 3:18 says, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, God says this, and you don't give them a warning. He said, the blood will be required at thy hand. So you just never know why God put people in your life. But I will tell you, he did not call you to be quiet or silent. Especially if you really experience the grace of God, you ought to say so. If you've truly been forgiven, you ought to say so. If you've been delivered from the mocking miry clay and God picked you up from the pit of life, you ought to say so. If you've been snatched from the hands of the enemy, you ought to say so. If you know that the Lord could have left you right where you were, and yet he looked at your faults and then looked beyond your faults and gave you a second or third or fourth or fifth chance, somebody here ought to be loud enough to say, I can't keep it to myself. Well, I'm done. I kept y'all here too long. And I'm not really paying attention to the time. It says I got 1 minute and 5 seconds. But since I'm here, I might as well keep on going unless the pastor pulled me down. And he's my friend. He's not going to do that. He'll tell me about it afterwards. But I didn't hear. I'm not here to keep you too long. I'm just here to tell you that the gospel gives life to the hopeless who need hope. The gospel gives freedom to those who are in bondage. The gospel gives life to the dying. In fact, Paul said it once again to the church in Rome. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. I feel like celebrating because there's something about the power of God's word that you can't just sit here and not show some sign. Oh, Lord. In other words, brothers and sisters, when you have, been... watch this, a witness that God's power works. You got to tell somebody what the Lord has done for you. And don't let me hold you too long, but is there anybody here who know that the Lord has done great things in your life? You ought to wave your hand. Is there anybody here who knows that the Lord has done marvelous works that oftentimes you can't explain, but you can express with your mouth? Have I got a witness in here? Is there anybody here who know that if it had not been for the Lord on your side, you wouldn't be sitting here at Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church? Well, you ought to be loud enough that so your neighbor can hear I'm here today because the Lord's been good to me. I'm here today because he set me free. Oh, yes. I'm here today because he picked me up and turned me around. Y'all still too quiet for me. Place my feet on a solid ground. Do I have another witness in here? Is there anybody here who know that the Lord's been good to you? You ought to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Holla if he brought you from a mighty long way. Holla if he delivered you from the pit of sin. Holla if he died for you on a hill called Calvary. Holla. Yeah. If he paid your debt 2,000 years ago. Let me get from behind here. Because I read where Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I be in the midst. If you know that the Lord's been good to you, you ought to make a joyful noise. Yes, he died for me. Yes, he was buried for me. But tell your neighbor, that's not how the story ends. Oh, 3 days later, he rose again with all power. Y'all still too quiet. Is there anybody here who know it was that power that changed your life? Say yes. Say yes. Yeah. 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 Grab your neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, if the Lord's been good to you, shout with me. Give praise to God. Say hallelujah. Anyhow, won't he do it? Won't he give you a shout in your mouth? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Yeah, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Won't he do it? Won't he will? Won't he do it? Won't he will? I know he's all right. Look at your neighbor one more time and say, neighbor, there's no woe in my spirit. But what's in my spirit is a hallelujah. What's in my spirit is a thank you, Jesus. What's in my spirit is a praise you, Lord. And if you don't have anything else but a praise, your praise will keep you. Just another day that the Lord has kept me. Somebody ought to shout right there. Just another day that the Lord has. I just need one more. Kept me, kept me, kept me, kept me. He kept me from all evil. And my mind stayed on me. Just another day. Come on, y'all saying that the Lord. Kept me. I'm so glad that the Lord, what did he do, church? Has kept me. Somebody's glad today. I'm so glad that the Lord has kept me. Yeah, he kept me. Kept me. Can you say yeah? Yeah. 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 Yes, Lord. Come on, somebody say yes to the Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, we thank you. We bless you for that word today. You've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. What a tragedy that you have done so much for us, and we say so little about you. I pray, God, that you would give somebody the courage and strength to be able to say yes today, to have a woe is me worship experience, to recognize that you have not saved them, you have not kept them, you have not made a way for them just to keep it to themselves. Because your commission requires a commitment from us to say yes, Lord. So we thank you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Everybody who can, everybody who will, if you stand on your feet, please. Those of you who are watching us from wherever you are in the world, being watched in 163 different countries around the world, I want you to know that even now you can say yes to Jesus. It's not a coincidence that you're watching today. It's a God incident. It's not a coincidence that God has spoken to you. It's a God incident. The QR code is on the screen. For those of you who are watching and for those of you who are in this place, we extend an invitation for you to come in person, but if you'd like to respond via the technology, that QR code will take you to a quick link. If you need Jesus in your life, you can quick click on that link and be shown how to ask Jesus Christ into your life. If you're looking for a church home, You can use that link, or if you need prayer, you can use that link. And somebody will not just pray for you, but will contact you and pray with you. But if you're here in this building right now, and God is moving in your heart, the Bible says nobody can come to him unless the Spirit gives him an unction to come. And if you feel something tugging at you right now, it's not a feeling, it's not an emotion, it's the Holy Spirit saying, come to me. If you're here upstairs in the balcony to my left or to my right, and you're feeling the move of God in your heart, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to God. I don't know how many times you said yes before. Maybe you've said yes and you've messed up, and said yes again and messed up. Said yes again and messed up again. Here's the wonderful thing about the God that we serve. He's not a God of one chance or two chances. I've got some witnesses in here that can testify he's a God of another chance. And if you're here today and you're in need of another chance, God says, come on and come. You say, yeah, but preacher, I've messed up in the past. Listen, you don't ever want to let your past to mess up your future. I don't care how many times you've messed up in the past. God says the future is a story that still has not been completed. You could write the rest of your story starting right now. So if you're upstairs or down, the men and women who are up front and who are all around would love to show you privately how to ask the Lord into your life. We're not going to ask you to come and stand and say anything before the congregation. We don't vote on what God is doing in somebody's life. We just welcome you and thank God for you. We want to wrap our arms around you, connect you with a group of people who will love on you and encourage you and pray with you and pray for you to help you become all that God wants you to be. As we sing the song of invitation, I want you to say yes today. I want you to say yes today. If you know the words of prayer, I want you praying right now, just praying that the Holy Spirit would move in somebody's life. You pray. And if you don't know the Lord, come on and come. If you're looking for a church home, come on and come. We'll rejoice when you come. Come on and come. To the depths of my soul, yes, Lord. Completely, yes. My soul says yes. Come on and come. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart, of my soul. Come on, sing it to the Lord. Say this. I love you. Sing it to God today. I love you from the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul. I love you. I really do.
I really do.
My soul says yes.
My soul.
Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated in this place. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise today. Good. God Almighty. We're going to have to call Dr. Adams the Sermonator.